I'm going to start off the Minnesota goodbye with something that I wasn't even sure that I wanted to bring up on the Minnesota goodbye or on the radio. So tell me your thoughts on this one.
Yeah.
So we're at the lake. We're on Minnewashta on, I think this was on, yeah, it was on, it doesn't matter, Saturday or Sunday we're at the lake.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out in our little kayak, and we bought this inflatable kayak, and it's awful because it doesn't give you any back support, so you can't lean up against the backrest, so you have to lean all the way back, which means your head wants to go back, so you have to hold your head up, and it was awful.
Yeah.
So we're out there, we're trying to make the most of it, whatever, and we saw something really weird, and this is what I hesitated to bring up. So there's a swimming area at Minnewashta Beach, and it'll come up to like the average adult's waist, okay? And there's a guy who was definitely grandpa with his granddaughter, and they were splashing around and wrestling and having fun and whatever. And then Susan and I, we weren't trying to watch, but this granddaughter was probably about 10. Grandpa was 65-ish, and he would pick the girl up. So she's facing him, and he would pick the girl up with his hands under her butt, under her thighs,
mm-hmm.
and like kind of swing her around, and it was weird and creepy and inappropriate. And Susan said something first. She said, okay, that's creepy. And I said, yeah, he looks creepy. And because he's full body contact with his hand under his granddaughter's butt,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to guess granddaughter, could have been anybody. And they're kind of, then he'd throw her in the water and then she'd get back up and she was giggling because she's 10 and she didn't know that it was inappropriate. But there's no fucking way that guy didn't know you don't pick up a 10-year-old boy or girl that way facing you so their legs are wrapped around you. So it wasn't like we were going to say anything. I mean, there's no way we were going to paddle over and say, hey, you know what? We don't know you. We don't know your situation, but we don't like what you're doing.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, were we wrong not to say anything? But what are your thoughts? There's no way that was like, that he didn't realize that's not right.
Are you sure?
Am I wrong?
Are you sure the girl was 10? Because that does seem very old for them to like be holding
eight or 10.
Okay.
8 or 10. Yeah.
I'm just trying to like equate it to my niece's 4 and I was like carrying her around this weekend.
100%. Yes. Because that's what I said. I said when Allison and Carson were 4, 5, 6, you bet. But because it's not weird when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Carson was 2, he hated taking a bath or a shower. So I would have to get in the shower and hold little naked Carson and wash him. And I would hold him like up against my side under his bare butt and wash him.
Mm-hmm.
But he was 2. There was nothing creepy about it. The kid needed a shower. But there's an age where it's like, you don't do that.
There definitely is an age. I think that some families, though, are just a little bit more unique in that way. Because I was at a wedding in the last couple years where the father of the bride was giving this really long speech and telling all these stories of the things he used to do. And he talked about like pinching his daughter's butt in it. And it made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was like, it was like the kind of like punchline of the story. Like she always loved it. Cause I'd go up and I'd like pinch her butt afterwards. And that was like her thing. And then he'd like say something in like a baby voice. And to me at like 32 years old, like if my dad was saying that about me, I'd be like, dad, stop it. Even if like that was something we did when we were little. So I just think that like some families are different and like a little more like touchy, but it's very loving, you know, in that way.
There's a skit on Saturday Night Live that goes back 10 or 15 years where the family, whenever they like go to mom and dad's house, they kiss each other like long on the lips.
Yeah.
You know that one. You've seen it, right?
I know that one, yeah.
And I remember when I was dating a girl back in Ohio long ago, I went to her house and her brother come in and her dad was there and her dad and her brother, adult brother, 20, kissed dad on the lips. And I was mortified, horrified. I was like, oh, because in my family, we didn't even hug, much less kiss on the lips. We hugged my mom. My mom would kiss us on the cheek, but dad, it was a handshake.
Right.
And I was like, that's so fucked up. But you're right. To them, it was probably just normal. So maybe I overreacted to it. But that's kind of why I brought it up. Because to me, in my family, no way would I would have had 10-year-old Allison or 9-year-old Beth straddle me almost naked in a swimsuit.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying you're overreacting at all. I'm sure it was like uncomfortable to most people seeing it. But to them, like I said, it probably is just like their family's like that. Like my family was leaving for the weekend to go back home to Wisconsin because they were visiting. And I went and gave my niece and nephew a hug and stuff. And then I went to like try to give everyone else a hug. And my family's just not a hugging family, but I'm a hugger.
Yeah.
And so they even brought it up. They're like, what are you doing? Like, we're not huggers. And I was like, well, I am. So get used to it. I'm going to hug you all.
Yep. My dad, a few years before he died, he was never a hugger. I said, I'm going to give you a hug anyway, Dad. I'm going to give you a hug. And then he would kind of like do the half one arm pat on the back kind of a hug. Ava, my granddaughter, is coming up on 3. And I went over there yesterday and for a little cookout for Memorial Day. And when I left, Allison, her mom, said, give Grandpa, she calls me Peepaw, which is horrible, give Peepaw a hug. And Ava came over and gave me a hug. But I know that you're not supposed to ask kids to hug people. If the kid wants to, that's great. But I think that it's kind of come up in the last few years. Don't have the expectation that your kid should hug anybody that they don't want to hug. Mm-hmm. But she gladly did. She loves me.
Yeah.
It's so funny because she is at that age when she's got to show off everything. So the minute I walked in the door, she climbed up on my lap and she wanted to show me a book that makes noises. Aww. And then she wanted to show me this. And then she wanted me to go to the park with her. So, all right, moving on to the emails. This one said trigger warning, and I missed all week of shows last week because I was in the hospital. I had a miscarriage. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Sorry.
Listening to you guys and catching up has made me feel more normal and has helped me a ridiculous amount. Thank you for being helping me forget about the seriousness and realness of the world around me. It's a break that I needed and appreciated. I find so much joy in being able to laugh at something when everything in my life seems to suck. That is Jenny from Arizona. Jenny, I'm glad you listen all the way in Arizona. I'm sorry you've gone through that. And I hear you. Sometimes everything in life seems to suck. This happens. Then this happens. Then this happens. Just know that it'll get better. Right now, Chase is going through some shit. My son, Chase. And he is overworked and life has thrown a lot of stuff. And he's trying to close up his mom's estate because his mom died last November. And he said, I said, is there anything I can do for you? He said, just give me some good advice and support. And I said, it'll get better. Mm-hmm. I said, right now it sucks, but it will get better. When work slows down and life slows down and you're only going to have to close out your mom's estate one time, you're only going to have to close her bank account and her credit cards one time, then things will get better. So I would say the same thing to you, Jenny, is that things will get better. All right, next one. I have a favor to ask. Actually, I'll say this for the air, but I'll go ahead and read it since I started. I'm a girl, fairly young, but not too young. In your next War of the Roses, when you talk to Jonathan Fogel, could you please tell him there's a young girl named Sophie in Minnesota that wants to be a family lawyer? I would be so happy to hear that. I'm a huge fan of War of the Roses. Listen every single episode. Thank you so much. Your biggest fan, Sophie. I will pass that along to him. That's very nice. Next one. I haven't been able to, and this is, again, for more for the morning show, but just to follow it up, there was a guy who called in last week, said that he got dumped by his girlfriend of 8 years. She was tired of waiting. What could he do to get her back? And so we talked about that for a little bit. She said, basically, that happened to me, too, but I was the woman. I made a life-altering change in my life by losing 165 pounds. And I cracked out of my shell in order to find out who I was and who I really wanted to be with to make me happy. I feel like when I met the first guy, I wanted love so bad. I wanted to have a boyfriend so bad. And he did want the same things I did. But basically, time went on and she lost the physical attraction. And then basically it gave her an opportunity to meet her person out of the blue when she wasn't even looking for a relationship. I had truly found love within myself and grew to love who I am. I feel you can't let someone love you until you can love yourself. So maybe we can have her. She offers to be on the show, so maybe we can have her on sometime. Next one. We were talking about the State Fair preview. I think it was last weekend.
It was last weekend, yeah.
And I said, I love the State Fair, which I do, but I don't want to hear about the State Fair this early in the season. The same way I don't want Christmas decorations up in Walmart in July.
Yeah.
The fair is special, but I don't want to be reminded that summer is rapidly approaching state fair time. So Christy writes in, said, I know it was in good humor, but the kickoff of the summer at the state fair was great. Small crowd, free parking, lots of great food and music. I found a few food items that I would have never found at the actual state fair because it's so big in so many options. I went Thursday. They had 7 bands playing throughout. All were amazing, and it was nice to be able to grab food and go and just sit, listen to music. Although I definitely understand where you're coming from. I have family that grew up going to the fair and showing animals at the fair. Then I did it, and now I go 3 times a year to watch my nieces show their animals. Love you all from Christy. So, you know, I'll stick with that. I mean, I'm glad you had a good time. It's cool that they do it, but I don't want state fair stuff until August.
I know we were giving away Jonas Brothers tickets all weekend for the state fair. And I was on Sunday, and I was like, man, I kept saying, I don't want to be talking about the state fair right now, but here are your tickets for Jonas Brothers.
No kidding, because it's still like, it's going to be going on in, 3 months, June, July, August, 3 months away from the fair. Okay, last one, checking for time, we're doing okay. Mm-hmm. I wanted to respond to the woman whose husband is having a hard time connecting with her newborn, as her story sounds a lot like mine. A few weeks ago, we were talking with somebody whose husband cannot connect. No, it was 2 guys, right?
Oh.
It was 2 guys.
Oh, yeah.
And one guy.
That was a couple weeks ago now.
Yep. And he doesn't connect with the baby.
Yeah.
Even though they both really wanted a baby. The first couple of weeks, my husband and I were both on cloud 9 after bringing our daughter home. I really thought things couldn't get any better than this, but after a few weeks, there was a shift. He had a very hard time dealing with her crying. It would instantly shift his mood, and we'd completely disconnect and shut down and even get angry. I would try to help and explain ways of bonding with her at such a young age, but he didn't want to hear it and thought it was a bunch of crap. A bunch of crap that I was picking up from the internet. We got into a few nasty fights about it. I had fallen so deeply in love with our daughter, and I just couldn't understand how he didn't see how amazing she was and how easy of a baby she really was. Thankfully, I do have a therapist that I've been seeing since long before our daughter to help me navigate this. She explained to me, hey, it's completely normal for men to have a harder time bonding with their baby. Men tend to need more instant gratification, and you don't get that from a newborn. They are literally just little blobs that you need to keep alive for the first 6 or so months. Then they start to gain a little personality, yep. And they smile and they make
they
eye
laugh.
Contact. Yeah. Our daughter is now 10 months old. It's gotten better. She is so much more responsive and playful. He still has a hard time when she cries, but he is able to get over it much more quickly when she smiles or when he makes her giggle. Even if she's in another room with me and he hears her giggling, he'll stop what he's doing and come in so he can be a part of the fun. Aww. One of our friends also had the same issues bonding with his son when he arrived, so my husband did have someone he could connect with and relate to on this, which seemed to help. He truly was hating himself because he couldn't understand why he wasn't able to connect with her and felt like something was wrong with him. So having someone that had been through it was a great support thing for him. Anyway, she goes on to say, Christine, thank you. Also, I want to say thank you to Dave and the whole morning crew. I've been listening to your show for literally as long as I can remember. I am 29 now, and my mom always had the Dave Ryan show on when she would bring us to school. I moved 3 hours north of the cities and still listen to you on iHeart on my way into work and listen to the Minnesota Goodbye on my way home. You all bring so much light and joy to my day. Thank you so much for what you do, Christine. Christine, that makes me emotional when you say that. And I think I talked about last week how I get frustrated because I get emotional at the dumbest things. I was trying to describe something to Susan this weekend, and I was getting choked up. It was something about I was watching a story on TV, and I don't even know these people. And I said, it's frustrating because I get choked up at the dumbest things. And I said, I think it's low testosterone. And so I think I need to go have my testosterone checked because I get emotional at the dumbest things. Have you heard of that?
I haven't heard of that. But I think that you're a sentimental and nostalgic person. And I'm pretty similar in that aspect, too. And I think, I mean, I don't know what you're talking to Susan about last weekend, but like when you came in here and engineering had fixed something that was your dad's.
Yeah.
And you started getting choked up about that.
Yeah.
I completely understood that because your dad's no longer here with us and it was something that meant a lot to you. So why would you not get choked up about something that like brought back memories?
But I should be able to describe something without going like this, you know what I mean? And it's just frustrating because I want to get the story out, but sometimes I can't get the story out because I'm too, and I didn't used to be like that. And I think maybe it's something that's like guys get older, they're losing the testosterone and you got to go down and get like, you know, like testosterone shots or something like that.
I think there's nothing wrong with getting emotional. I think that it's totally fine because I struggled with that for a very long time because I am more emotional in like a crying sense of things, like than some people are. And I struggled for a while because it made me feel so vulnerable when I would cry about things that I feel like I shouldn't be crying about. And I watched some TED Talks by a woman named Brené Brown, I believe is her last name. And it just kind of taught you how to like lean into that vulnerability and mm-hmm. feel comfortable within it. And I mean, like, yeah, maybe it is low testosterone for you, but I think there's also a mental aspect for it.
I think the thing is, for me, it's frustrating because I shouldn't be. It'll be an emotional level of 1 to 10, about a 2. Mm-hmm. And here I am going, and it's like I get frustrated because I want to tell the story and yeah. not choke up and get my eyes tearing up when I'm talking about smoking ribs. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, and they were so good.
I mean, that might be a little bit much if you're getting teary
no
about your
shit.
Smoked ribs.
So do you get emotional and cry over emotional, sentimental, sad-ish things or out of frustration? See, I don't cry out of frustration ever. I don't remember in my life ever, and I'm sure I have, but crying out of like, and they just were so unfair and I can't believe they did that. I don't get frustrated and cry that way. I'm more sentimental. What about you?
I am I wouldn't say frustration's in there. I think like if Andrew and I have a disagreement about something, I will get emotional in a crying way and he gets more like angry, and that's the way he shows his emotion, and mm-hmm. I show my emotion in crying, and then I don't think logically when I'm like in that argument then, so I like take a step back and I'll be like, we got to stop right now because all I'm doing is crying and I can't like speak what I want to say. So that will happen to me. But no, I definitely get very nostalgic. I remember my senior year of high school, I sat and I would like cry because me and a group of friends, we ran our school store. It was a part of DECA, which is like marketing in high school. And we ran the school store, and I would get so emotional about every little thing. Like, this is the last time we're going to do this our senior year. Like, this is the last time I'm going to see you guys. We're all going to go off to college. And they would always make fun of me because I would start, like, getting teared up and, like, be so sad about the nostalgic things.
That's interesting that you realize that in high school, because most people don't really get how high school is the end of so much and the beginning of a lot, too. And it doesn't dawn on them until, like, you know, months later or weeks later or whatever, when they realize, oh my God, that was our last ride on the school bus. Mm-hmm. That was our last lunch hour together. Yeah. And I still clearly remember my last day of high school and how freaking surreal it was that it's all over. And it's bittersweet. It's sad because you are not coming back. You're not coming back on Monday morning. Yeah. You're not coming back tomorrow. You're not going to history class. You're not going to, you know, basketball practice or whatever. But at the same time, you're graduating from high school. So I think that's way more joyful for me than it was sentimental. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it for the Minnesota goodbye. What are your thoughts? Tell me about the guy at the lake. I want to know what your thoughts on the guy at the lake. I would have never been a Karen and said anything, but maybe you're like, Dave, you absolutely should have said something. Or maybe you're like, that happens in my family. It's totally normal. Shut up. Mind your own business. Maybe you want to talk about emotions, breaking up, whatever you want to talk about, or bring something new. Send us an email to ryanshow@kdwb.com.